Most High, I come to you giving you thanks and praise for keeping me in sound body and mind. I ask you to forgive me for all my indiscretions, all that I have done and all that I will do. I ask you to open me up, use me as your vessel, let my voice be yours. Speak your mission through me, allow the listeners to open up and receive it the way you intended. No holds barred. Use me. I look at the news and I watch other people's nations.
Welcome to another episode of Ubuntu Radio. I'm glad to be back on the podcast worldwide interwebs today with a young lady who I met playing soccer maybe 3 weeks to a month ago. She's new to where we are in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she's a pretty good soccer player. I mean, she's a good soccer player.
Oh, you flatter me.
No, I wouldn't. I'm serious. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. I told you that if I were to start a team, I would start with a defensive midfielder. And I think you've since confirmed that that's the position you played in college or growing up. But you have that sort of mentality. You do the dirty work. You're not afraid. You let the ball go. And you're happy to not get the glory, but to make sure others shine.
Exactly.
Are you a car washer? You're a polisher? You want to make everything shine? Are you a shoe shine girl? Is that who you are?
That's me.
That's you? And who are you? Introduce yourself to the folks in podcast land.
Hi, everybody. My name is Myra Robledo. I'm originally
from... Did you have to go Robledo? Could you say Myra Robledo?
No, Robledo.
So there's an R, there's a double R,
there's a rolling
R. There's a Robledo. Myra Robledo de que estado en los Estados Unidos? So my people who don't speak Spanish, in what state of the United States are you from?
Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles? What are you doing here on the East Coast in Raleigh, lady?
So I just moved here about a month ago to get my master's at NC State, so North Carolina State University. I will be getting my master's in Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Management. So I'm excited to get that started and get it rolling.
So what, you my master now? You my master now?
Eventually, who knows?
That's racist. That's racist.
Robledo. Not racist.
That's the reason why I started doing Ubuntu Radio was just to tell stories, tell people stories. Everybody's got a story to tell, and I think she's got a very interesting story, and I found out little tidbits today that add some flavor. Some, how do you say?
Sabor.
Sabor. Sabor a la vida de Myra Robledo. Hay sabor. Hay mucho sabor. Hay sabor. There's much flavor in her life in her. In her 22 years, she's ostensibly been on her own. Not estranged, but you've been financially on your own since about 18, 19 years old, went to college. I think that's an interesting thing, and I'd love to talk about that. You also played college soccer.
I did.
For a couple of years. I like the fact that you were able to balance school and work for about 4 or 5 years now.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and just the idea of moving across country to want someone to start fresh, start new, it's a scary thing, man.
It is a scary, anxious thing. I finally realized that I had to go, you know, it's okay to be outside of your comfort zone, and that's how you just move forward in life. So I did what I do best, and I made some friends playing soccer. So I decided to get some courage and go be active, and I saw a couple of guys playing soccer. I went to go
look. No, you saw some great soccer players.
Well, this is not you, so I saw a couple of guys.
What?
This is before you.
What? Okay, so this is an average soccer player.
Yeah, average. So I decided to go ahead and get out of my comfort zone, and I asked if I can join to play. Through there, I met some couple of guys, and they told me about Centennial Field, and that's where I saw the great soccer player.
Excuse me, say that again, Robledo?
The amazingly talented, if that's what you like to think, soccer players, and that's basically how I've gotten around making friendships and adjusting.
All I do is stay focused, looking straight forward at the world and beyond. I feel people pulling me down. I feel some pulling me up. I can't get stuck. I just keep moving forward. I got places to go, man. Let's go.
Robledo was playing at Centennial Campus, which is on the NC State campus, obviously. He's going to be a student here at NC State. Actually, he started already, right?
Mm-hmm.
Started on the 17th?
First week down, yes.
What are you studying? Let the people know.
Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Management. And what I emphasized in my research studies would be youth youth and sports development, so within minority or disadvantaged communities. I want to see how one thing interrelates with the other, or how it benefits or affects one another, and looking at youth, community, and families, and how they intertwine with one another.
Well, eventually your subjects, I'm guessing, for your statistical analysis and your studies will be younger than us.
A lot younger.
Not that we're old. Hey! Hey! Stop with the ageism. Stop with the ageism. Who will you be studying with your Parks, Rec, and Tourism master's theories and stuff?
So yeah, eventually I want to look into middle school age to high school, so about 10, 11 to 16, 17, 18.
Okay, so not that much younger than us. So we're going to eventually get there, but we want to start off with, again, Ubuntu Radio is about telling people stories. We all have a story to tell. So we're going to get into the Mayra. Am I saying that right?
Mayra Romero.
Mayra.
Mayra.
Mayra Robledo story. So, family's Mexican, of Mexican heritage?
Yes.
Out there in California. Parents came from Mexico, or they were born here?
My parents came from Mexico. I was actually born in Mexico, so I came myself. I migrated with them. My dad came here in the early 1970s, maybe. He came first to work, and he went back to Mexico, met my mom. They got married. My dad came, they had all me and my older brother, me and my younger brother. And so then my dad came back to the U.S., my mother stayed, and a couple years afterwards, maybe a year or two, my mom and all me and my siblings, we went ahead and crossed the border. So we
crossed the border?
We crossed the border.
How?
We went to, I think we flew into Tijuana, so TJ, okay. And we just walked across the border with someone else's passports.
This is getting more interesting. So let's back up here. So is it fair to say that you were a legal alien?
Oh yes, definitely.
So here is Trump's nightmare. You're an illegal alien who came here, did nothing wrong, embraced the American dream, went to college, earned a scholarship to get a master's, and you're about to transform the life. And for some reason, there are people in this country who think there's something wrong with that. I'm not going to get on a diatribe and have you talk about politics, because really, it's about the story. So we're going to spend a little time here. So you're how old then?
I want to say 2 years old.
So you have no knowledge of this.
I have no knowledge. It's just story that I hear. Stories.
So what's the story? This is why we're here. So your parents live where? In another state in Mexico? Because Tijuana is right there on the border, obviously.
So my parents, we live in Tepatitlan, Jalisco. So that's about 2 hours away from Guadalajara.
Okay.
So my mom, we flew out to TJ.
Okay.
And I believe, if the story is correct, I went with me and my siblings, went with another family. And we played the role as their kids.
Wow.
And then my mother stayed in the line for the border using someone else's passport. And she was freaking out, and she luckily made it across the border, and we reunited.
So you're 2 years old, and you haven't mentioned to the audience, but I know you have an older brother who's a year older than you. So two kids, age 3 and age 4. Age 3 and age 2. Your parents trust some other some, obviously it's gotta be somebody they trust, or no?
Yeah, so it's probably somebody that they knew.
So why couldn't they come in with you and your brother?
And I actually had a younger brother, so there's three of us. So the one was a baby, so he's literally.
And this your mom had him? Your mom had him, or
no? So we were all with the other family. I'm assuming they had kids the same age, or so we were able to use their birth certificate or their passport or something. That's the reason why we couldn't come with my mom.
I'm fascinated by this, because off the air we talked about the fact that all the people that we play, that you're now playing soccer with, most of us are immigrants. We came to this country to foster, develop, and to embrace and get rich and do the American dream thing. So you come here, your parents literally had to hand you to another family they trust using their kids' American passports, or?
Yes.
So they pretended like they just went to vacation or a holiday in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Then came across. So then how did your parents, who were Mexicans, how did they come in?
Well, my father was in the United States already. Uh-huh. So he stayed in that area, in the U.S. side. So he was just waiting for us to cross. And how did he come in initially?
No, so I get that. So it was your mom.
My mom crossed
the and the three kids, and she had to trust somebody with her three kids, and then she was using an American passport as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy smoke.
I think they probably had to pay them or some, it must have been some type of financial connection to everything.
Wow.
But yeah, that's basically how it happened. We just waited for my dad to come and pick us up afterwards.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Hello from the other side. I must have called a thousand times.
As you were growing up, like, when did you start hearing the story? And was it something your family's like, look, we don't talk about that? Or no?
No, I don't think it's something that they're quiet about. It's not something that is brought up on often either.
Okay.
But I think one of the reasons being that it's not something that's hidden behind the closet door or something is because we're legalized. We have the papers. So we were able to get papers through my father.
Okay.
I guess he came early enough or... But filed for citizenship.
Yeah.
Luckily, we're able to talk about it freely without any hesitance of getting deported or having that fear.
Gotcha.
I know other people close to me that aren't typical, like they're not big fans of the police, they're not big fans of making big scenes or drama because they're afraid that someone's gonna come and, you know, call, we would say the migra, or call someone to send them back home or deport them.
Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time.
So I know he doesn't have any papers and he's basically my age. So he probably crossed around the same time I crossed, but for one reason or another, if they didn't file for citizenship, or they might have been too late for the act to file for citizenship.
Okay.
But now they have, luckily, the Workers Permit, the DREAM Act, but the parents don't have that.
What is the DREAM Act for people who may not?
The DREAM Act is for children, I believe, who came under the age of 15 throughout a certain time frame, and so they didn't have any, it was out of their own will to come.
Mm-hmm.
They were forced to come, so they're not being blamed for that. And they're able to get their license legally, and they're able to have a worker's permit, which allows them to work within the United States.
So how many folks do you know in Southern Cal who fall under the umbrella of the DREAM Act? So folks your age, is it a lot?
That I know personally, it's about a good 20, 30.
Wow.
That I know personally. That I don't know personally, oh, it could be a lot more. It could be maybe like in the hundreds.
So what was it like growing up in that California love and the sunshine? Everybody wants the sunshine. What was it like growing up there? And why would you come here if you grew up there?
Oh, so California is beautiful. California is put up in a pedestal for me.
Okay.
I love it. I don't really have anything else to compare it with as opposed to living to any other state. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. So California.
Except for North Carolina people, she doesn't mean that. When she gets here, she's gonna fall in love. She's already been to the mountain. She's been everywhere. She's gonna fall in love with North Carolina.
North Carolina is beautiful, but I love California. I live fairly close to the beach, so it was something that I was always accessible to go to. Now anywhere else, it's easy, a 2-hour drive.
Okay.
But there's so much you can do. All the cities have something to offer, from West Hollywood to Anaheim to Beverly Hills to Inglewood to Compton to everything.
Okay. And where did you grow up in? I know Los Angeles is very spread out. It's sprawl. It's like a sprawl city. Did you grow up in Los Angeles proper, or did you grow up where? Where did you grow up in Southern California?
I grew up in Inglewood, so specifically in Lenox. My community can be seen as a poverty community, so I personally didn't encounter too much of it. However, I did have a good handful of events that have marked me in a way. In high school, there was a couple of girls who I was walking with some classmates to do some projects, a school assignment, and these girls just stop us and ask us where are we heading and why are we going there, like, and then we're just in shock, and they ask, what are you banking, or where are you from? And one of my friends says, oh, we're from Lenox Academy Math and Science Technology High School, whatnot. And so these girls just laugh at us, and I had just learned what where are you from kind of meant. So I'm like, oh my god, it means what gang are you affiliated with? So where are you from? And she responded, my classmate responded with the name of our school. And exactly, so they just laughed. And
we're the nerd gang. We do all the accounting for the drug dealers and for the Crips and the Bloods.
And they just kind of said, okay, well, this is West Side, whatever, you know, don't come into our property. And we were kind of, my friend just says, well, I live right there, so we're just going to walk into my house. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of, okay. Just these and things and flowers. I live across the park, which is Lenox Park. It's a LA County community park. And maybe about, I want to say 6 months ago or close to a year, our house, there's a gun shooting. And one bullet actually hit our door. So there was a drive-by, and a gunshot hit the door, our like house door.
Who was home? Anybody?
We were all home. It was in the middle of the night, so my mom thought it was my older brother just knocking really hard on the door because he forgot his keys or something like that. So luckily nobody was in the living room area, and our doors, they're very thick since they were just remodeled. So it's a thick wood, and it just deflected through the frame of the door. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the door in glance, you can see the dent. So it's always a reminder of, okay, I love my community, but I don't want to have my own kids living here, and I don't want to have my parents living there.
By the way, we're talking with Miss Mayra Robledo.
That's
a grad student currently at NC State. She just moved to the Raleigh, North Carolina area. We met actually playing soccer with my friends, and Ubuntu Radio is about telling stories. So today, we're sharing her story to the world. If you have not been listening, she's mentioned she was born in Mexico. When she was 2 years old, her parents handed her to another family with a fake American passport to make it across the border at Tijuana. She came here, made it over here. Her mom made it over here. Her dad was already here. And they're now legal, have been for much of her life. And she's talking about her neighborhood, not a typical neighborhood, but you know, there's families there, but there's also violence and gangs and things like that where she grew up. But we want to get to the fact that you got to college and now you have a full scholarship to get to do a master's program here?
It's a full ride, yes.
One of the reasons I really find it interesting and want to talk to her about that is a lot of people in a situation like that can never foresee the possibility of what you're actually experiencing in reality. So you go from, can we say legal immigrant?
Yep.
Okay, we can say illegal, and then I stress now that she's now legal, whole family's legal, so Donald Trump, leave her alone. Okay? But you came here, immigrant, came here illegally, now you have legal status. You went through school, and I'm guessing you're like an AB student because you went to like a specialized high school. Is Lenox Academy a big deal, if you would, in Los Angeles? Like, if you make it to Lenox Academy, you're like, ooh, she must be smart.
Well, not everybody gets accepted into Lenox Academy, okay. So we'll start with that.
So you go to Lenox, obviously you do well. And when do you start thinking about college, or have you always been thinking about college? Was education stressed in your household?
So soccer was stressed in my household. It was kind of like, you do soccer as a...
Dad played? Mom played?
Exactly. Mom and dad both played older. We've all played. So all five of my siblings, including myself, we've all played. So that was just a thing. You do soccer Tuesday, Thursday, weekends, just soccer out on the field.
Families going around watching all the kids play.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that was enforced. Education was verbally enforced, but not really put into action. It wasn't like I was being, there's no one over my shoulder telling me, okay, have you done this? Have you done that? Make sure you get this out of the way. It was more so of a verbal, hey, you should be reading, stop doing that. But it was up to us to actually take action into it. And it wasn't until later in high school that I learned that. I believe it was junior to senior year. So we had a TA class, and that was basically your familia throughout the whole 4 years. And that was your mentoring. The teacher was basically your mentor. I found it to be comforting. I don't necessarily think that my academic success or my life success is reflected because of that. I don't think it played much of a role in it. But I do think that that's kind of how I began to think about college. So everyone's talking about, where do you want to go? What do you see yourself doing? You have those types of discussions. And my senior year, we had a senior seminar class. So that's where they assist you to actually take time out of your day to apply to these schools. So if it wasn't for that, you might have not even applied.
Gotcha.
You don't know how to apply as a first generation college student,
right,
or who's applying to college. You don't know how to apply. Luckily, they had the mentors or the teachers for senior seminar were very helpful. So I had applied to the schools that are nearby,
okay,
because it's said that you're guaranteed more acceptance notice if within some distance from your high school.
So the plan was for you to commute to most of these schools?
Yeah.
Initially? Okay.
So I was planning on commuting. I wasn't planning on living there right away.
Okay.
I knew that I did want to gain that college experience of living outside of my household.
Okay.
So I had told my parents early off, eventually that's what's going to happen. Maybe not now, maybe not next year, but eventually I do want to live outside for a year or something like that. In high school, I was in a car accident. So my senior year of high school, I broke my tailbone, clavicle, pelvis.
Were you driving?
I was not driving. I was in the back seat. So my mother was driving, making a left turn, and another car kind of just came from behind on a red light. So all of my right side was hit. My left side was impacted. I was in a wheelchair for four weeks. I was in bed rest for 4 weeks.
And that was senior year high school? This was junior school?
This is my junior summer. So I was transitioning into my senior year of high school. So high school was basically over for my junior year. So I was coming into it as a senior.
So you also, was there a soccer team at this high school?
Yeah, so I played soccer throughout my whole life.
Did you miss your senior season because of this injury? Or?
I missed my senior season because of this injury, but I also...
Who is it? Who is this person?
I also missed, which is more importantly, because Athletics Academy wasn't a big athletic school.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed my premier college year. I played club soccer, and we were premier level, which is the highest level you can be. So I was basically getting recruited by colleges at this point, and when the injury happened, I couldn't play anymore.
And nobody's looking, nobody's got
eyes. Exactly. When I went to college, I decided that I connected with one of my club coaches. Her name is Shelly Marshall. And she gave me the phone number to the soccer coach at Cal State Dominguez Hills. I called him, set up an interview. We met.
You're a go-getter.
Exactly. And then we met, so then I tried out during spring semester, which is the off-season, and I made it. So I was a walk-on freshman who, without having a whole year off of soccer, I was still able to make it to the college team as a walk-on and get a starting position.
You started first game sophomore year.
I started first game sophomore year, yeah.
That's impressive. It doesn't matter how you get here. The dream of America is still alive if you're willing to put in the work and, like you said, be a go-getter. you were not recruited to Cal State Dominguez Hills. I'm thinking of all the UC schools and all their football teams. But you went to Dominguez Hills. You were not a recruited student athlete there. You came in, talked to the coach, obviously went out and impressed him in the tryout. So you go through the summer, you come back, you start in the fall. I mean, if you don't know, a college season is about 20 games. Uh-huh. In the fall, any injuries or anything, setbacks during your fall, during the sophomore fall season?
No injuries. A couple setback was the fact that so I didn't go to practice because I had to work.
Okay.
And the coaches were not okay with that.
And did you tell them beforehand?
I told them. Then they said, sure, you know, do we have to do, like, it's my decision. So I decided that I had to go to work. Since work wasn't giving me the day off for practice, I went to work and I was still on the roster to play, which surprised me. So I said, okay, cool, I'm on the roster. I go with them. I did not play 1 minute of that game.
Of course, you gotta teach you a lesson.
Exactly.
Team so comes first, lady. Team comes first.
No. Afterwards,
always.
One of the coaches comes to me and says, you know why you weren't starting? You know why you didn't play? Because you didn't show up to practice. Don't lose the opportunity that's been given to you. And I said, okay, great. So I didn't miss any more practices. I put soccer as priority over work. And it was challenging. I had to sometimes leave work, put my shin guards and my sock on the freeway while I'm heading to my practice.
Are we supposed to cry for you over there, though? Are we supposed to cry for you now? Then you
do what
you have to do.
But it was one of those time management things where you just kind of learn, okay, I can handle all of this.
And this is how
old? I can't handle all this.
19?
19.
Okay, again, that's one of the things, just speaking offhand and not directly, but listening to you talk about your life is, it's an impressive thing. And part of this conversation is having, I think sometimes people do impressive things and then don't think anything of it. And when you're having a conversation with somebody who's looking at it from the outside like I am, it's a pretty impressive thing for a 19-year-old to be able to balance and manage work with a full class load, which is about how many hours?
16, 20 hours a week that you have to dedicate.
16, 20 hours a week to class, and then practice is what, 4 to 6 or 3 to 5?
2 hours a day, yeah.
Okay. 3 to 5, and you're working, so what times are you working?
So depending on what day it is, I would try to schedule my classes Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
So I would go to work, so Monday I would intern, I would do an opening shift. So 7 to 2, and then drive, rush to practice at 3 to 5, and then go home and do my homework. Or have an afternoon, evening class, and then go home and do my homework. Or other way around, I would go to practice when they had earlier practice from 12 to 2, and I would drive to work, change in the parking lot for my work outfit, drive to work, go to the restroom at work, wash my face, and kind of do my hair, and then I'm work from 2:30 to 10 p.m., go home, shower, do my homework, and then go back, get ready
homework,
to do it again.
Homework, you're up until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, about 12, 1.
And that goes, this goes on for how long? This is the 4 years that you're...
No, this went on for about maybe 3 to 6 months, so about 2 semesters. And then I realized, okay, I can't do this. I needed to make a decision on what I want to do because it was very stressful. And I felt like I was at a point where I'm too young to feel that stressed. So I decided to leave soccer and...
Is that a tough decision? You've been playing since you were 5, 6 years old.
It was
tough.
That couldn't
have been easy.
It was tough, but at the same time, it was rewarding and I was okay with it because by playing soccer, it was an accomplishment that I did for myself. So without knowing whether I could or could not play soccer prior to my injury, it was one of those, well, maybe, you know, my dream would be to play college soccer. And then my injury happened and now I don't know if that's gonna ever happen, and I accomplished it. So it was a reward on its own to have experience playing college soccer. So leaving it wasn't a big thing. It was more so, okay, I'm still gonna play soccer because that's what I enjoy, and that's what I did. Do I miss playing competitively? Yes, I do, but I mean, I'm okay with doing pickup and doing recreational soccer too, and that completely satisfies me in just the same ways. I gotta keep trying, gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. I dropped soccer because I wanted to excel in my academics. I was introduced to research. I was my first year there doing proposals, research proposals and grants. My second year in the program, I applied to summer research programs, and through a summer research opportunity program, I got accepted to a program in Penn State, so Pennsylvania State University, and it was basically a paid internship, so a paid research internship. I met great people. I did it in recreation and leisure, which is actually where I'm at now, and I fell in love. I said, now this is where my heart is. This is where I'm passionate. It was the line of interest that people were looking at. It was youth, it was the poverty, it was minorities, which is kind of where home hits to me. So I feel like I can see myself growing up. I was in pretty much poverty, but I didn't feel like it. I didn't personally look at my life and say, why am I so poor? No, I thought, oh great, soccer, cool. You know, I have things that take my mind out of it. I was never in a circle of, you can't afford this or you can't afford that. It was more so, oh, I'm too busy distracted with all these leisure and recreational activities to even realize that. So that kind of whole idea hits home. And I just love the idea, the mentorship that I was offered there through Linda Caldwell, which is a professor at Penn State, and Meg Small. From that, I just admired the whole process of research. It wasn't a dreadful thing. It's very time consuming and it is harsh. It takes a lot to actually complete it. So if you're not passionate in what you're doing, it's not fun. So when I was undergoing this experience, I realized, oh, this is pretty interesting, this is fun. So that's when I decided, okay, let me go ahead and go through on applying to grad school. So I just started doing my applications, I started getting the reviews, and I think I did my personal statement maybe 14 times. So it was time consuming, it was dreadful, it was hard, but it paid off, yeah.
You got a scholarship to do master's level postgraduate work at North Carolina, home of the Wolfpack. It's the university, now you're here in Raleigh. And then you get the added benefit of playing soccer with some really good soccer, with some really cool people who do some awesome things. And I like what you said. And big ups to Linda Caldwell?
Linda Caldwell.
That name sounds familiar in some of that. I've known a Linda Caldwell doing something else. But Linda Caldwell. And you mentioned somebody else.
Dr. Meg Small as well.
Okay, and again, this is why I'm not reaching out to you, but the fact that you've uprooted yourself going to 2,500 miles away, 2,000 miles away from your comfort zone.
And this is completely, okay, you're out, and hopefully the wolf pack doesn't eat you.
No, we're the wolf pack takes care of our own. The strength of the wolf is the pack. The strength of the pack, Myra, is what?
The what?
You better believe it is. But saying that was to get to the point that it's never where you are. It's always the people you're with. This is street radio for unsung hero. Riding in the Rego, trying to stay legal. My daughter found Nemo, I found the new primo. Yeah, you know how we do it for the people. The people said that I was sharp on TV. Your mind has been transforming the reality of your living circumstance, and I think you've always aspirationally been heading someplace else all your life. And I think that's the immigrant story. The immigrant story is, I'm coming from Mexico, I'm coming from Congo, I'm coming from South Africa, I'm coming from Zimbabwe, I'm coming from all these countries that my friends and I came from. And even when we were there, our minds were thinking, I want to be someplace else. That's America. America is, I'm here now, poverty, trailer park, whatever, M&M, 8 Mile. I want to cross 8 Mile. I want to get to Detroit, and then on to New York, and then I'm going to take over the world. It's that story, and I see that aspirationalism, if you would. That's the fundamental tenet of what it means to be an American. So these, pardon my French, these fuckers who are saying America is this or is that, they need to come and listen to this podcast and talk to you, because you are the definition of America. Sometimes we find peace in beats and breaks, with the bang in the back so the seats can shake.
rebel Cadillac music for the people, say the people.
Do you think you're living the American dream and have your parents sat you down and going, what's the word, orgullo?
Orgullo, uh-huh.
Hay mucho orgullo para tu, mi niña, Mayra. hay mucho orgullo para tú y para Jerry. No, hay mucho, pero para ti, Mayra, hay mucho. You know what I'm saying? Okay, have they, maybe sometimes it's hard for immigrant parents to say that, mm-hmm. especially if you're working all the time, but do you feel that they understand sort of what you're doing now, and you feel that orgullo? And for people who don't know Spanish, that's pride.
So let me go ahead with the first question. I myself think that I am fulfilling the American dream, okay. because I came from nothing, literally, and now I'm working my way to get something. If I say now, and you can always, wherever you are, you can always make that nothing into something. You don't necessarily need a degree or to get a master's. You can do anything with just, you know, your own idea. Having the concept of wanting to do something moving forward is the start of it. But I do think that myself, I am living the American dream. For my parents, I definitely saw it in their eyes when I was walking across that stage getting my diploma. I saw it when they were looking at me just through their eyes. I just felt it. I felt that they felt that all their hard work have paid off. They're proud of what I'm doing, they're proud of what I'm accomplishing, and I'm a big role model for my younger siblings.
How old are your younger siblings?
My youngest sibling, she is 9, turning 10,
okay.
in a couple of days actually, so she'll be 10 August 29th,
okay.
and my younger brother is 11. And then after that, I have a 21-year-old and an older brother who's 24.
Okay.
So I think that they're all proud, and I'm happy to be the first one to kind of open that door and say, hey, if you want to do higher ed, it's possible and it's doable. It doesn't matter when you want to do it or, you know, what you want to do it on, just know that it's there as an option.
What I'm also hearing is that there's always been a plan, there's always been this aspiration, there's always been this forward step, there's always been what's next. So now that you're here, where do you see yourself in 5 years? So 27, what does Mayra Robledo look like at 27? What is she doing?
For me, family is important. So I see myself having my own family, having kids around in the next 3-4 years maybe, and then owning my own home, working somewhere where I'm making an impact. So career-wise, I want to go ahead and either develop some type of programming that's gonna be implemented in a minority community or a disadvantaged community that can bring positive effects. So I want to either do that, or I want to run a college rec center so I can stay in the young atmosphere of college and just run a college rec center within the coordinating activities, or work within the county parks.
Okay.
So kind of the same thing, coordinating activities, unifying the community, overseeing what's going on, kind of staying within touch with where the community is and improving it. There's always something to improve and somewhere where you can make an impact.
Is there money in that game? Let's be realistic. Is there money? Because the vision of somebody who is, and I hear there's a large edge in your voice, in your aspirations about giving back, and a lot of times when people have the energy to give back, they're not paid a lot. So is that a concern for you? Are you going into a field where the payment, quote unquote, is the feeling and not the money? You understand what I'm saying? Are you worried about that?
I'm not worried, just because money necessarily is not something that I worry about. As long as it's paying my bills, it's paying my mortgage, and it gives me a little extra cushion to travel here and there, I'm completely happy.
Okay.
I don't want to go and be rich. That's not something that I aspire to be. I'm rich.
But it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt.
It wouldn't hurt, but I don't aspire to be rich. I feel like money brings issues to a certain extent, but as long as I'm rich with a healthy family, a roof over my head, then...
And no roaches, obviously.
And no roaches, yeah. No roaches. Roaches only for... in Raleigh.
Easy now. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
In my own apartment right now.
So you promised us at 27 when we get you back on Ubuntu Radio, God spare life, you're going to be married with a house, one or two kids?
Three.
At 27? May I stop you there?
By 29, I want to have three kids. I want to have all my kids by 29.
So then how much time are you going to be able to put in the career? I'm just playing devil's advocate here. So you're going to be done with the master's program at 24. And in the space of 5 years, you will have established yourself as a go-to person in this industry, plus have three kids. Can you have it all, is what I'm saying.
With the right support, yes. It may not be three kids. That may be, you know, pushing over it. But I do want to have kids by 27. I want to have a family. But we'll see. I mean, these are just what I kind of foresee for myself. But we'll see. But only for the FABOLOUS. Sing to me, ma. Got the F on my chest. What up?
Take a girl like me to get a guy like you to understand. All girls ain't the same. I'm not your average chick, cause they can't do it like this. I've been sent to save your day and things won't be the same.
I think you've always had a plan. You've always been living outside your head and living outside your situation. You've always been aspirational. You've always been forward thinking. It sounds like that. You're that type of person. And I'm glad, even though the plan always changes. The plan always changes, but the rest of your life is going to change. But it's there. It's there as a guide. So there's a guide that at 27, 29, you envision, you have a picture of what is. Now, whatever it ends up being, we don't know. If it's close to that reality, then fantastic. If it's a variance of that. But the fact is, you need that plan to be able to walk that path for the next 5 years. So that's there. You just started school. School started, what, last week, Thursday, Friday?
Last week, Wednesday.
So you just started school. So I wanted to have this conversation now. I want to have a follow-up conversation maybe the beginning of the second semester in middle of January. And again, when you get ready to go back to Cali at the beginning of the summer in 2017 or in May 2017 to see how the year went. So we're going to follow Miss Rubin. Ms. Señorita Robledo through her 24 months here in Raleigh to see what happens. I like that. I like being able to have markers so somebody can look back and say, 6 months from now or a year from now, you go, I said that?
Yes, you wanted three kids by 30.
No, not just that, but just anything. So let me do this. So this is the first interview. We're going to at least do three. What would you like to say to the May 2017 you?
Now I would say, congratulations, you made it through your first year of grad school. Okay. And it would be a big pat in the back. I would say, now it's time for your thesis. So start collecting your data. Whatever your research interests or idea of your thesis proposal is gonna be, make it be something that you're really passionate about. And because I've heard thesis, it's kind of like dreadfully, you're almost dead throughout the whole thing. So good luck. Eat healthy, manage your finances. Hopefully you're liking your new apartment.
No roaches,
yes.
Learn to cook
by then. You better have learned to cook by then.
Well, learn to cook better. We're always constantly learning to cook, but what else?
Yeah. What else? Travel. So
where?
Where? By 2017, I would have gone already to Washington.
State?
Virginia.
Or D.C.?
Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I've been there before, but to Washington, D.C., Virginia, New York, Pennsylvania, Florida. So I'll have
really?
A couple
in the next 8 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll drive me distance. So I expect the future me to have accomplished that.
Okay.
I expect the future me to have passed my classes with A's.
Excuse me. Okay.
So that's what I would tell myself.
And we're going to finish up with Mom and Dad. Is there anything you want to say to Mom and Dad? Because they're going to be listening to this.
Let's see. That I'm surviving, that I'm making friends, that I'm adjusting very well and making you all proud. Not using drugs, not gaining weight, staying very...
What does the gaining weight part have to do with it? What is that?
It's a joke. So my dad thinks that I'm losing weight or I'm getting staying fit because I'm not eating, because I don't want to spend money on food.
Oh, okay. So she's funny. Working out. North Carolina's hot, and you just sweat off some pounds.
Joke, yeah, so it's funny. For them, a year from now.
No, just now. This is daughter talking to Mom and Dad.
That they should, you know, not worry too much about me, that I'm fine. If I don't talk to them often, it's because I'm really busy. Not because I've forgotten about them, so I try to give them a call every now and then when I have free time, to know that they're very special and I appreciate everything that they're doing and that it's paid off and it's going to continue to pay off, and one day they're going to get theirs, so they're going to be able
to get a Tesla.
They're not going to get a Tesla.
You're not going to give them a Tesla.
If I had money to get them a Tesla, I would give them a Tesla, but they're going to get their nice retirement, so they're going to be able to enjoy retirement just like my dad wants it.
So he
wants to retire in Mexico. So
where in Mexico?
He wants to retire where we were from, so in Tepatitlan. We have an apartment back home, so he wants to go ahead and go back home and retire and still work.
Let's put some specifics to it. When?
Well, if it was up to my dad, he would have already retired. Okay. But since the opportunity of my younger siblings is rising right now, my sister is very, very talented in soccer. So they want to see where
that... So you literally... The whole family is soccer.
The whole family.
You say the whole family. Mm-hmm. It's 3v2 in the backyard. It's
yep. Okay. They're all club soccer. So those are opportunities that they can't really get back home. My younger brother just entered an engineering program for middle school. So that's something that's not offered.
Y'all have been student athletes since the beginning. It's a wonderful thing to hear, man.
Yeah. So I'm assuming by the time they get... done with high school or into high school, by then it'll be another 5 years. So who knows? Maybe by then I move back home and I.
Well, no, you'll have three kids. You can't do that.
There's a lot of things. I can take care of them and my parents will go
retire. Three kids, you can't be going home to the house with three kids and there's people there. But Miss Mayra Robledo, muchas gracias a hablar conmigo este domingo. Y yo no sé por qué yo hablo con un announcer de Univision. I don't know why I'm talking like a Univision announcer, but seriously, thank you very much for talking, and I hope it has not been a pain for the screw in your hip, and also for your mind. It's not been taxing. I've enjoyed the conversation, and this is again why I've always wanted to do this. I'm glad that I'm doing this in my own way. You never know who you're influencing, you never know who's listening, you never know what an impact somebody's story can make. And so you have a young lady who came here under different circumstances, but it's not unusual for Americans to be here this way, and she's made the American dream a reality for her family, and she's going to continue to do that. So, Myra, thank you, and we hope to speak to you some other time. Enjoy NC State, go Wolfpack!
Whoop, whoop!
Ubuntu out!
Chosen one from the land of the frozen sun, where drunk nights can remember more the sober ones. Walk like warriors, we were never told to run. Explore the world to return to where my soul begun. Never looking back or too far in front of me. The present is a gift, and I just want to be.